The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 365. I am one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
It's good to see you. It does me good to see you today.
It does me good to see you, old friend, as we ride through these dark alleys. In the ever-rotating third chair, no one. Because, Colin, we have two very special guests this week.
We do.
Number one, Nick.
Can't you see?
No. Number one, Nick from PlayStation's here to talk all about Freedom Wars,
right,
the upcoming Vita game you and I are very excited
yes.
about. You're going to throw him some hard questions. Then at the very end, for Ryan's wrap-up, a special performance by Mega Ran.
Yeah,
a rapper.
Very cool. Very cool.
He's an amazing man. Raheem comes in with a Famicom. You'll see in a second. He plays the songs. He sings. He raps. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's very cool. It was the coolest, I think, the coolest Ryan's wrap-up yet. And we've had some pretty cool Ryan's
wrap-ups. Really cool ones. Colin, how you doing?
I'm okay. It's been a week.
It has been a week. It has definitely been a week, and it's Tuesday, which is always never a good sign.
No. Always never.
Always
never. Is it always a good sign, or is it never a good sign?
I would say it's always. It could go either way. That's the problem. Always never. It's always, hashtag never. It could just be right in the middle there. It could be either one of those. You think hashtags would work if you combine them, but you don't put the hashtag in front, and you put Colin, hashtag Greg, and it's all one word?
Like hashtag spelled out?
Yeah. No, just the number sign in there.
No.
Remember when people use the pound sign for stuff?
Yeah.
And they called it the pound sign. Now they have to say the hashtag sign.
Yeah, it's a hashtag, yeah.
That's weird.
Someone somewhere removed the, because, dial the number now, then press pound.
Yeah.
Oh, should we stop?
No.
Okay.
I thought I was just here for backup. That thing's been recording fine. I use the camera audio
because
that's what it's all about.
It's weird. This is a three-part podcast for us. This is the final part, but it's the main part of the show.
This is the final part?
Yeah. This is the final part we have to record for this show.
Oh, this is the first part of the show, though.
It's the first part of the show, but timeline-wise for the listener home right now, or the viewer, they don't understand what's happening.
No, I don't really understand what's happening.
No, you and I
changes
really
of clothes, and there's different days of the week this was filmed
It's true. We just ate a umami burger.
I had an umami burger.
It's good.
Oh, the place is awesome.
I do like umami.
It's very expensive, but it's
worth it, I think. I think you're getting a quality burger. I miss Burger Joint. Burger Joint sucks compared to umami.
No wonder Umami took that place over. Burger Joint's a whack.
Burger Joint's a burger you could eat every day. Umami's a burger you can only eat once in a great while because they're so rich.
They are rich.
Yeah.
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 Well, it's been a good show.
All right, everybody. This has been Ryan's. Let's begin the show. It's Podcast Beyond. Internet's number one PlayStation podcast. IGN's PlayStation podcast comes out every Tuesday as an MP3. Every Wednesday as a video, usually, unless something horribly goes wrong. Thanks for everybody who continues to tell me the name bars were wrong in last week's video. I don't care. This is too much work to go back and fix it. I tried to fix it an hour and a half into processing. The thing died. I was like, well,
I don't care.
This isn't enough. Jared Petty is Ryan McCaffrey, and you're Brian Altano, or vice versa.
Whatever.
Who the hell cares?
What's in a name? That's what.
Exactly. What is in a name? Yeah. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for song news.
There are only five items on the list.
A short baker's dozen today.
And, I think this might be one of the shortest, if not the shortest, Roper Report ever. Mm-hmm. There's just not that much going on. It's kind of weird.
Everybody's getting their games out.
Yeah. But
Freedom Wars is finally coming out.
Yeah.
Minecraft Vita is out.
Yeah.
The big hitters are done.
Uh-huh.
This holiday season's almost over.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited for everyone to hear the Freedom Wars interview as well.
The countdown is on. Only minutes.
I like doing the You know, like they used to make fun of pilots doing that. Yeah. You know, it's,
we're going to be cruising at a...
Yeah. Like, first of all, why do I care?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is your pilot speaking. We're at 35,000 feet.
Look to your left. You see Mount Rushmore.
It was weird when I flew back from the Comic-Con. Yeah. This first time, the pilot never said a goddamn thing to anyone
for
except for flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff. And then pilot, or you know, flight attendants, please prepare for landing. That was it. That was fucking literally it. Sorry, I cursed.
Oh, where was it? I didn't even catch it.
Yeah, it was just
right around there.
All right, you ready to go, Greg?
I'm ready.
Number one. And by the way, I do this because I can't print for some reason anymore. Yeah, number one.
It's going around the office. Yeah. I had to get mine fixed. Rafi came over and fixed it.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a good man. Shout out to Rafi.
I'm going
to
turn it like this so I can actually read it.
All right.
Number one, the American sales charts are in for September of 2014. Don't be confused. It always takes a little bit, you know, a little bit of time. It is indeed October right now.
Yeah.
For the ninth month in a row, PlayStation 4 is the best-selling console in the country.
Dang.
On the back of Destiny's release. Destiny helped PS4 triple its sales month over month. 8 of the 10 top-selling games in the country were on PlayStation platforms. Destiny, which was at number one. And interestingly, Destiny sold best on Xbox One. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't.
So if people read the MPDs...
Destiny sold best on Xbox One?
Yeah, so, but follow me.
Okay.
So if people read the MPDs, they'll know, and they're veterans of reading it, they'll know that the you know, it'll say Destiny, and then I'll have parentheses, and it'll have all the platforms it's on.
In the order they're in.
But there, yes, that is the secret of the MPD. The platforms are presented in the order they sold in, best to worst. And Xbox One was first. But that doesn't take into account the bundles.
Ah, so that's where they got you, the PlayStation 4 white bundle.
8 of the 10 best-selling games for PlayStation platforms. Destiny, Madden, NFL 15, FIFA 15, Middle-Earth, Shadow of Mordor, NHL 15, Minecraft, Disney Infinity 2.0, and Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls.
Oh, look at Diablo 3 hanging in
there. The other two were Smash Brothers and Sims 4.
Okay.
Those were the other two that were not on PlayStation. Number two. Sony has further detailed its upcoming massive firmware update 2.0 for PS4. We already know much of what the firmware will do, including bringing in theme support, allowing direct video capture uploading to YouTube, and new friend-finding options. But we also learned that we could listen to music in MP3 format, as well as other formats, via a USB-connected drive, and send your saves and other game data between your PS4 and a USB-connected drive. So that's pretty cool.
Yes.
You can do it with screens and video, too.
Right.
New voice commands will be available for PlayStation Camera. New search and organizational options will be available when searching through streams. The extremely busy PS4 content area will be decluttered and cleaned up, thank God. And perhaps most interestingly, a new option will be placed in the PlayStation Store for PS Plus users that will easily and quickly let them add free games to their download list with a simple press of the button.
What a nightmare it is right now trying to download a PlayStation Plus game.
Because it assumes you want it, and then it sends it, you know, like...
Well, it's like you go to the store, you're like, oh, what? Yeah, PlayStation Plus, what's new this month? And you click on the PlayStation Plus thing, and it's like, do you want to buy it for 3, 6, or 12? I'm like, no, I want the games.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me when I was looking for Dust and Elysian Tale. I had to manually search for the game.
Yeah.
Because I went to PlayStation Plus, I went to free games, and it just wasn't there. I was like, all right, well, that's good. Number four.
Nope, Tommy from Kansas writes into beyond@ign.com and says, Beyond. Colin was right. Dust and Elysian Tale is freaking awesome. Fun fact, except for the voice actors, one guy by the name of Dean Dudrill did all the programming and animation artwork for the game. Yep. Yeah, freaking crazy.
Yeah, I heard that.
My question is, how does a PlayStation Plus subscriber purchase a game that they got for free? I'm asking because I want to support the developer of the game, hence Dust and Elysian Tale. Hope this question gets answered. Big fan. Thanks, Tommy from Kansas.
The first person to ever ask me that question was Mark Ryan.
Really?
Who was just the world's biggest contrarian. And he was just like, I want to buy the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't think you can.
If you're,
I don't think so. I think if you're a PlayStation Plus.
You have to let your PlayStation Plus subscription lapse and then buy it back the rights to play it since you've already downloaded it.
I appreciate what he's saying.
Yeah.
And it's a cool notion. And I'm sure there's people out there like that. But I don't think the engineers on PlayStation side, they can't even change your name. So they certainly weren't going to be like, well, there's probably someone out there that wants to buy the game. Because then people are going to get confused.
Sure.
Buy it on accident, get mad.
Get really mad, write tweets and stuff. But the thing about it is, like, PlayStation Plus is being tracked. Obviously, the developers got paid to give the game for free, in quotes.
Yeah, they get paid up front.
So they've made money from it. So then getting it is adding to their download numbers, which is making them look good and that there's a demand for that game. So I think in the long run, just downloading it is enough. It's similar to some of the shows on the internet. Just listening is good enough. They don't need your dollar.
Interestingly, I was talking to Q Games in Japan.
Yo, Q Games, what up?
We were talking about the future of the Pixel Junk series and all that, and they were saying that Pixel Junk Ultimate, when it was free, it was downloaded over a million times. So there's a lot of people downloading these.
I mean, that's such a great move because it gets you in, it gets people in the door to realize they like this game, to realize there's a developer they like, and then to look for the next project. You could also look for other projects. I'm not familiar with what the folks from Dust and Elysian Tail had done before or after even yet. You could buy those ones to try to support them that way.
Yeah.
You could just write him a nice fan letter, a tweet, follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, I appreciate where he's coming from, but yeah, they did get paid up front.
Yeah. They got their money.
Number four. PS4 exclusive Racer Drive Club is still experiencing massive issues. The game, which launched 2 weeks ago, is still plagued with problems, forcing Sony-owned Evolution Studios to post the following message on Facebook. It reads, stay with me here, Greg.
I'm with you.
We can see that the majority of you can now get online, but we know that at peak times of the day, it can still be hard to get connected. So we are still working to improve connectivity with every update to the servers. We can also see that when you do get connected, some of you are having a hard time getting into multiplayer races, and that posting leaderboard results can sometimes take a lot longer than you'd expect. These connectivity issues stem from the same unforeseen server problem that we're working to get on top of since we launched Drive Club. And while we are getting on top of the problem now, we are still working around the clock to keep improving gameplay for you. This means there will be regular server updates in the coming days to get all of you connected and enjoying all of Drive Club all of the time. We will continue to keep you up to speed with the improvements we make.
Speed!
And would like to thank you again for all your feedback and messaging about your time with the game so far. Please keep them coming. End quote.
These poor bastards. God bless them. They are having a rough day over there.
Yeah, rough
month.
It probably felt like one day that just never ended.
Yeah, yeah. That's the worst. The worst is when you're, I mean, as a fan, you want to play these games. There's a problem, right? But as a developer, like seeing it, no matter what you do, and it's been going this long, 2 weeks, I've just, you can't do anything about this.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
It's no good, man.
No bueno.
No bueno.
Number five. Beef. This is just a quick one. Bandai Namco's Project Cars has been delayed and will now launch on March 17th. 2015.
That's it.
Smart move.
That's all your news.
That's
yet?
It. That's it. That's all the news. There's nothing else going on.
What about the cars? Do we care about the cars?
No.
Project Cars
nope.
getting delayed.
Nope. It looks pretty. Dynamical. I saw it in Japan. It looks pretty, but yeah.
You like cars?
No.
You like cars? You ride in them once in a while.
I ride in them. Yeah.
You appreciate the horseless carriage.
Yeah.
You don't play the games.
No.
You don't drive them.
Mm-mm.
Not a fan of those things.
Certainly not. Even when I play Grand Theft Auto, I actually never get into a car. I always walk around.
That'd be great if you even refuse to drive in Grand Theft Auto. You're always the passenger or whatever.
I just take taxis everywhere.
Yeah. I got two things to add to the Roper Report. You ready?
Okay. Oh, I missed things?
No, these are like, you know, inside beyond things. The first comes from Max. He says beyond.
Beyond.
He then says, I'm Max. PSN,
hello, Max.
Crazy Max. One word spelled with an I. After last week's podcast, I feel the need...
Crazy Max spelled with an I?
Yeah, instead of a Y for crazy.
Oh, okay.
So C-R-A-Z-I.
I was like, Miax?
I was like, did you see there was a thing going around today on the internet of a guy at Starbucks who said my name's Mark with a C, and so they just wrote Kark. All right, Crazy Max says, after last week's podcast, I feel the need to let Colin know that he is not alone on his controller dilemma. Remember last week, you were talking about you suddenly switched in your head from inverted to non-inverted, and you don't know what to do with it. Max says, I had the same problem when I played The Walking Dead Season 1. After a while, my brain just magically gained the ability to play on normal instead of inverted. Resistance Burning Skies was the game that made me learn how to strafe with the left stick because I had no choice, and now I can strafe with the left or right stick. Don't worry, Colin. Our brains were designed to adapt. So level up your brain. Been listening since 138.
Level up my brain.
Third time riding Max. Thanks, Max.
Thanks. Yeah, I got a lot of feedback from people.
A lot of you wrote into
Beyond. One guy told me that it's due to a mental illness I have, but everyone else possible. Everyone else was like, "No, this is happens. This happened to me too. It was not uncommon. I don't feel alone anymore." So thank
Good.
You for that.
Have you accepted that you're not normal? Or are you going to try to force yourself to be inverted?
No, I want to be inverted.
Come on, man. Just don't make no sense. Stick in the back of the
stick
head.
Stick in the back of the head. Who, push
that
down.
Doesn't make
up.
Any sense. Why would anyone have a stick in the back?
Well,
of
why
the
would
head?
You fly an airplane like that then if it doesn't make any sense?
It's a good point. That is also airplanes are stupid. So there you go. We have fixed that.
If one of the airplane pilots that you're on the plane with isn't playing his plane inverted, you're gonna be in a lot of trouble.
I'm telling you what, man. You can tell. You can tell that we're doing a different kind of podcast today. Because I'm definitely not on it. I'm not on looking for the curse words. You and I are just having a casual fireside chat here, which hasn't come to be on in a long time.
Nope.
Your next item on the Roper Report, making a 7 Baker Dozen. This comes from Zach Childress, International
Childress.
Playboy. Childress.
It's Childress.
International Playboy. Zach Childress, International Playboy, says, Beyond.
Beyond.
Hey, longtime listener since Podcast Beyond, episode 120, but Have never written into you guys, but I had to write in when I heard Colin was coming to my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
I never get the chance to ever go to some of the events you guys go out and do, but would love the chance to meet someone I've been listening to forever and maybe show some of the cool stuff about Louisville, not just bourbon. Now, I'm going to tack that on as well to Michael, also from Louisville, Kentucky. And yeah, I'm going to keep saying Louisville. I'm from the rest of the world says Louisville. You guys got to just
Louisville
confirm.
Slugger.
Louisville Slugger. Great Colin, they have a rotating third chair beyond.
Beyond.
Being a huge fan of the show, I couldn't help but get optimistic when I heard on episode 364 that the Beyond crew would be taking a vacation to my hometown. Remember, of course, Colin turned 30 for his 30th birthday bonanza. We're going on a bourbon-tasting boy ride.
Boy ride. A bourbon-tasting boy ride.
I was trying to get to another B. I couldn't think. It's the
boy ride's fine.
Colin's 30th birthday bash bourbon-drinking boy ride is what I got. Yep. That's all it is.
I'm totally fine with it being a boy ride. I don't know what that means, but it's
UV Santa Charles. It's boy riding out there. It's good. Right. Nah, we mean it in the nice sense of boys. Michael continues. I was born and raised in Louisville, Kentucky, and I must say that the bourbon tour is an excellent choice for a vacation. I wouldn't want to intrude, but seeing how Greg finds it impossible to, quote, just eat a meal, I was wondering if us Louisvillians could be lucky enough to partake in a Beyond breakfast, lunch, dinner, or snack. Thanks for hosting my favorite podcast, Beyond. Beyond.
Beyond.
Michael and Zach, go f*** yourselves.
Jeez!
All you motherfuckers on Twitter want to throw it in my face every time I say I'm doing anything on there. That
you can't just have a Twitch stream.
No, we're not going to come see you in Louisville now.
Damn.
This is what you've done. It's called the chilling effect, and you've all done it. You've won. I won't do any meet and greets anywhere I go anymore.
Wow.
How does that feel?
Wow.
That's
you're
not true.
Hurting your brand, Greg.
No.
And my answer to that is this is going to be a private trip.
Right.
If it was just Greg and I, I'd say, of course, we'll come hang out with you. But it's like, you know, girlfriends are involved and people that are not in this industry.
Right.
It's
yeah, this is a different surface.
We appreciate the because a lot of people have reached out about this. We very much appreciate you guys. But yeah, we're going to keep this one private and on the DL. But if you see us, you know, you can stalk around.
Say hi.
You can stalk around Louisville. And come around Louisville. And see if you can find us.
Yeah, of course, I'll never stop the meet and greets. I'm doing one in Columbia next week. Columbia,
Jesus
Missouri. I'm targeting Thursday, the 30th.
You're the worst.
October 30th.
You just said are one you'd of the
do
worst.
It. You just said you'd do it.
Well, October 30th. You just can't stop. But you can't stop.
I never even started. That's how much these people mean to me, Colin.
Never even started.
I'm sorry that they mean Jack to you. Let me write that curse word down.
That's not true.
Apparently they do.
No.
You can't even come out of your hidey hole to come say hello.
Hidey hole?
You know, you're drinking the bourbon, you can't even shake a hand.
Jesus, Michael, I'm not running for president.
Michael Childress over here and his goddamn babies want to come get a handshake, and you can't do it.
Jeez Louise.
Now we're all f***ing around. We love you very much. I'm going to have to... I'll be impressed.
I just want to have a boy ride over there in Louisville.
We love you. Thank you for coming out. Columbia, Missouri meet and greet here. Zach continues. Now I get somber. Sorry. Zach... Childress International Playboy continues. Also, recently my dog has become very sick and he's very old. And the vet said he didn't have much time left.
The upcoming list.
His name is George and he passed away last week. But right before he did, he barked at me asking where he could find all upcoming games on the PlayStation platforms by the IGN editors. This is a great show today.
The Andrew Goldfarb Memorial List of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Rest in peace, George the dog. He barked human words as he passed away. Childress, Columbia, Missouri, meet and greet on Thursday at CJ.
You're the worst.
Way.
I want you to just go somewhere and not have a meet and greet
way.
For once in your
I'm
life.
Going to Kentucky with you because you don't care about our fans.
God,
you don't care about your fans. You don't care about your friends. Your best friends.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
Are you done? You want a hug?
No.
Let's go back to hugging. Come here. Good stuff.
All right, here are the games. Escape Goat 2, available digitally on PS4.
Escape Goat 2.
Let me read you about it.
I'll
read you a little something about it. The theme of Escape Goat 2 is transformation. As you manipulate hidden machinery, walls move around and blocks settle into new places. Things look different when you're done with the room, especially if you employ your mighty horns to their best use. And you have a remarkable companion to help you on your journey. What? What the hell is that means? F1 2014, PS3, digital and retail. I like the name of this one. Fluster Cluck is available on PS4 digitally. Own the coop. Use blasters, missiles, turrets, and mines to take down your friends' UFOs. Drag them to the chickenizer. Is that right?
I like how you bring up to your eyes.
To the chickenizer while you ignore their whining. Shout taunts at full volume as the chickens fly, for they cannot mute the fluster cluck master.
That's a good one. That's a tongue twister.
That's a good one. Just Dance 2015 is available digitally in retail on PS4 and PS3. The Legend of Korra is available digitally on PS4 and PS3, and it's supposed to be pretty bad.
Really?
Yep.
That sucks. A lot of people were excited for that. Korra fans out there. They were on up at noon. They lied to me if it's bad. Actually, I don't know if I asked them if it's good.
This one I'm excited about.
Okay.
I played this at E3 on Vita. Race the Sun on PS4, PS3, and Vita.
I didn't hear about this. Digital. Why are you excited about it?
You are a solar-powered craft, Greg.
Okay.
The sun is your death timer. Hurtle towards the sunset at breakneck speed in a futile race against time. Delay the inevitable by catching speed boosts which reverse the setting sun, if only for a moment. Race the Sun is inspired by arcade games of the past with a focus on high scores, short game sessions, and pure fun mingled with nerve-wracking tension. So the idea is you're racing towards the horizon and the sun keeps setting and you're trying to get towards the sun.
So it's like an endless runner that you're just always
going
for?
Yeah, basically. I think it's really neat.
All right. How much is it?
I don't know. Does not say. Samurai Warriors 4 is available PS4, PS3, and PS Vita digitally. And PS4 only at retail. Shadow Warrior, which I think is a remake, is available digitally and at retail on PS4. Shadow Warrior, yeah, is a reimagining of the cult classic FPS from developer Flying Wild Hog and Devolver Digital.
Flying Wild Hog?
Yep.
That's a hell of a name.
Blending the viciously over-the-top gunplay of its predecessor with the elegant precision of the powerful katana, Shadow Warrior is an imaginative take on the classic arcade-style shooter.
Mm-hmm.
The Voice is available PS3, retail, and digital.
Like the TV show?
Yep.
Do I sing in it?
The Voice.
Thank you.
Brings all the excitement of the hit TV show to your living room. From the blind auditions to the battle rounds and all the way to the finale, experience the TV show with the ultimate goal of being named
The Voice. I'm sorry, now I have more follow-up questions.
I don't have any more answers.
Well, you said PS4 or PS3?
PS3 only.
God damn it.
I don't know why. That's weird.
I'm on fire today.
And finally,
my next question. Yeah. Is Blake Shelton in it?
I don't have the answer to that. I assume so.
Really? You think they can afford Christina Aguilera? Adam, what's his face? Levine?
Levine, yeah, they're probably in there somewhere. I don't know.
I don't think I can afford it. Blake Shelton's got that Pizza Hut money now. He's putting bacon and cheese
in the crust. There's bacon in this crust, or whatever the hell he says.
Shut up, Blake Shelton. You want to talk about somebody, good for him. He's made it. Because I remember when he came out on the country scene, he had a mullet and a cowboy hat, and you're like, this guy's a nerd. And now he's cleaned up well. He's on network TV. He's broken out of country. People know him. Good for you, Blake Shelton. I didn't like your turtle tweet.
What?
He once tweeted that he ran over a turtle on purpose, and everybody flipped out. But then his manager had to come out and say he wasn't even driving that day. He was in an airplane or whatever. And so then it's just like, well, why would you even just randomly tweet that you ran over a turtle?
That's weird.
He's a weird guy.
Ah! And finally, The Walking Dead Season 2 is available on PS4,
woo,
digitally in a retail. I believe it's already on Vita and PS3.
Woo!
Greg, The Walking Dead Season 2,
yeah,
a 5-part game series that continues the story of Clementine, a young girl orphaned by the undead apocalypse.
Yeah.
That sentence doesn't make any sense. Left to fend for herself, she has been forced to learn how to survive in a world gone mad.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read you the first sentence again.
Thank you.
The Walking Dead Season 2, a 5-part game series that continues the story of Clementine, a young girl orphaned by the undead apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
Shouldn't it be The Walking Dead Season 2 is a 5-part game series that continues the story of
Clementine? Yeah, it should be. Yeah. Yeah. There should be a verb in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot,
it's
Clements.
It's a passive verb, but it's
I blame Clements. You blame Clements? I blame Clements.
Yeah, I'm sure it is his fault.
Every tweet at Poem Cider, tell him he screwed that up. Don't do that.
He'll get mad if you do that.
Yeah, don't do that. We love him. Love him too, everybody.
That's it. Some good games out there in the wild right now.
It's a good time right now.
I got to play The Evil Within. Now, some people have been asking me on Twitter, what do you think of The Evil Within?
You're all big talk
last
week.
There's just no time to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no time to play a goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting really tired of it. But you know what I do have time to play? Tales of Hearts R, which I started playing this weekend.
Okay.
And it's... Redacted.
Are you reviewing that?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense why you're playing it. These are the sacrifices you have to give.
It's very redacted right now.
Okay.
But we get Freedom Wars, and we'll be dealing with that.
And that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom Wars comes out. We retire. We have Minecraft Vita. We got Freedom Wars Vita. We won't need other games.
Nope.
That's the end.
That's it.
It's the pinnacle of video games.
That's all video games we need.
Yeah. Sorry, Lego Batman. You were late to the party. Video games have been perfected.
Bring the real Lego Batman to Vita.
That also true. Another great point. I'm sure the Vita would smoke and explode if you tried to.
No.
Put the giant open world of Lego Batman on that Vita.
If the unfinished Swan can run on Vita, sir, then certainly Lego Batman 3 can run on it.
Colin.
Yes.
We're talking right now about the golden age of video games we live in. Mm-hmm. One of the big parts, of course, is Freedom Wars.
Yes.
Coming out.
Vita is a big part of that golden age.
It is. And that's why Freedom Wars, Nick, PlayStation, is our topic of the week.
Yes.
Toe, 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 toe. Colin.
Yes.
You've brought me a very special guest today. Just to talk about our most anticipated PlayStation Vita game that comes out next week, Freedom Wars.
Yes.
We're very stoked about it.
I'm excited about it.
I'll be in Missouri with no consoles. It'll be my only respite for video games.
Your only lifeline to the outside world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now, Nick Accardino. Hey, Nick.
Beyond.
Oh, look at you. You're a pro. You know what to do. We get these characters in here. They don't know what they're doing. You're like, yeah, Troy Baker, you make me sick. Get out of here.
I've told you this before. I was listening to this back when Chris Roper was doing the Roper Report.
Wow. That's old. You're old.
Old.
That's OG.
Oh, jeez, man. Yep. You were in high school probably when that was happening.
Actually, I was working at a dead-end job in Cleveland, Ohio.
What was your dead-end job?
Writing about dirt and gravel.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's very true.
What was the Dirt and Gravel Insider? What was it?
It was the Dirt and Gravel Construction Aggregates, as they like to call it, industry report. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That must have been fun.
Listening to you guys and all sorts of people at, 1UP doing podcasts.
Never heard of them.
Yeah, right? I mean, I heard they were something at some point.
Sure,
but,
yeah. I'm sure somebody else bought them and made them into something better.
Wanting all my life to be in the gaming industry, and a couple years later, here I am.
So how did you – you're a producer at PlayStation.
I'm a producer, yes.
So how did you go from gravel to being a producer at PlayStation?
And mud and all that. It's kind of funny. Back a couple of my friends used to work at 1UP in EGM offices back in the day. And then
did you know Dan Shu?
What?
Did you know Dan Shu?
I didn't know Dan Shu very well.
Okay. But you knew of him.
Knew of him, yes. But
Adonis.
Nick Suttner and Shane Bettenhausen and some of those guys who I'm sure.
Now I see how you got your job at PlayStation. There you go, the mafia.
Anyway, my wife wanted to go to grad school, so I asked her to look on the West Coast. She got in at UCLA, and I said, I'm going to try to network in, and I got in, luckily, with a little help from some friends, and here I am.
Nice.
Cool, man.
So for the kids at home either watching or listening right now, what does a producer at PlayStation do? Like, what is your actual job?
It depends on if you're first party or third party or just kind of what you're involved with. Uh-huh. I'm part of ISD, which is the International Software Development Team.
It sounds really impressive.
It's fun. So my job is basically to take all the games we make overseas, so Europe and Japan, and get them out over here in SCEA. Make sure they're localized correctly, try to help coordinate all of the marketing and the PR, and basically be a member of that overseas studio for SCEA.
Gotcha.
So for Freedom Wars, I try to help out the team. That's a collaboration with a bunch of guys over there. For NAC, I was, helping out the NAC team, get everything ready for launch over here, since NAC launched before everything, or before it did in Japan at least.
Right.
So that's my job. I'm constantly doing lots of things at once, and making sure the team is happy. So
okay.
Now here's the you speak Japanese, right?
I do.
Now here's the common theme that I didn't realize until, because the first game I worked with Nick on was NAC on PS4, and that's when we met. We started working together, and then his next game was Freedom Wars, and I made the connection at E3 when we played it for the first time, when he started just randomly speaking Japanese to the guys, I guess, from Studio Japan.
That's when you're like, you might know Japanese.
I was like, oh, well, that's why they have you on the Studio Japan games.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that you spoke Japanese. You lived there for a while, right?
Yeah. I studied over there my junior year in college. And then I've just been speaking it ever since.
Is that how you got the gravel job, too?
Yeah, well, actually, it's kind of sad because my resume said international studies. That was my major in school. And so they were like, oh, we have international reports that we do. So you can have the international report on dirt and gravel and rocks and all that kind of crap. So, yeah, great job industry.
And you said konnichiwa.
Yeah.
And they all looked puzzled at you for a second. And they're like,
oh, you speak Japanese.
Sumimasen. Colin.
Yes.
Start talking about Freedom Wars.
Freedom Wars. All right. So, first of all, we're very excited about this game. Our audience is very excited about this game, too. Awesome. We're getting a lot of tweets about it, a lot of messages, a lot of emails. So for the people that don't understand Freedom Wars out there, maybe they don't own a Vita or they're not intimately engaged in that Vita ecosystem. Can you explain kind of on a high end what Freedom Wars is all about?
Sure. So you can think of Freedom Wars as like a pretty awesome third-person hunting type game. So if you're familiar with games like Monster Hunter or Tokiden or, God Eater or any of those type of games that involve four people taking on huge enemies, online, offline, and, kind of exploring a pretty cool dystopian world, that's what Freedom Wars is. So differences is that, unlike other games where you're just hunting with blades and, big swords and hammers, we have all sorts of guns and bazookas and all sorts of cool things.
And the thorn.
And the Thorn, which lets you fly around the environments and hack off enemies.
I mean, I sell it this way. I go, all right, if I'm talking to a comic book fan especially, it's easy. I'm like, it's the Suicide Squad story,
yep.
Right? You all have this amount of time on your head, and you're all trying to go out on these suicide missions so you get your sentence down so you get to be a free person.
Sure.
You got the Thorn like Spider-Man, so you attack with and do a billion things, but you get to shoot around the environment with
like
it.
This.
And then you can combine Monster Hunter with that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And it's set in, like, again, this goes back, Colin knows me well. He knows me so well, and he knows that
touch
like
my Brillo head.
That's what I do. It's rough today. I like it.
I've touched. You won't let me shave it.
It's the third time. I don't need to shave it. Nick, do you like it when he shaves his head?
You know, I haven't been around long enough to really make.
Don't.
A comment on
the
that.
Answer is no. You don't. So just stick with me for it. my problem always with I used to review Monster Hunter and do
sure.
different things with it for IGN, and I enjoyed it fine. But it was one of those. It's very much in that fantasy element that I have a hard time getting into. When we're talking about present to far-flung future fantasy, like robots and monsters and aliens coming out, that I can get behind easier than it's like I'm fighting a dragon and I'm cooking on a wood fire spit. And I'm like, nah, I don't like this at all.
You making fun of Dragon's Crown?
So tasty.
Yeah, a little bit of slimes happening there too.
You make fun of a Vanillaware game. That's a bold move. So I guess you've already kind of named some of the things that set Freedom Wars apart from some of these Monster Hunter games.
Yep.
Would you say that the verticality that you mentioned with the Thorn is kind of one of those major things about being able to kind of explore axes of the environment as opposed to just running around?
Yeah, absolutely. Like that Thorn's a big game changer, I think. Not only does it let you, you know, jump around the environments, latch onto enemies, you know, pull yourself up to them and start hacking away at them, but it lets you move around the environment more quickly. You know, you can use it to just skip along the ground more quickly if you want to. You can use it to pick up items. You can use it to resurrect your friends. You can use it to do all sorts of stuff. So if you like those grappling hook mechanics, if you like having a lot more freedom and going, you know, kind of, I say, Attack on Titan style on some of these bigger bosses, like, that's what it's all about. So definitely, yeah, when you see us advertise the game and showing trailers, you see us using that Thorn all the time for all sorts of stuff. So yeah, huge difference maker, I think.
We're told we might get to play it today.
Maybe.
We might finally be able to play
this
game.
Have you been a good boy?
You tell me, because I started off really nice with both of you, and I'm looking at the PR guy off camera when I was like, hey guys, what's happening? And then it started to get the mean, threatening tweets, and that's when it got darker. My question is, when we start it, in the beginning, how badly are we going to get our teeth kicked in? Is there a huge learning curve? Is it going to be really punishing?
No, not at all. I'd say, if anything, the end of the game gets a little bit tougher. But by that point, you should completely understand how everything works.
Sure.
A lot of mechanics involved. But no, it's going to be pretty nice to you when you start off the game.
And, okay.
You'll go through a few missions, a couple training missions you'll go through, and then it'll all open up and you'll get access to everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wouldn't be worried about doing anything. If you're worried about playing the game by yourself, offline without people, not
Colin.
A problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I'm gonna play the game. Yeah,
we live in the same house. Let's just play while we watch football and hang out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, not a problem. There are there's a few missions you'll have to do by yourself, but by and large, most of them involve you with a team of three other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I should mention that every player has an accessory, which is kind of like an AI companion. So you're constantly taking teams of eight characters into battle with you. So you always have a team at your side.
Even if you're playing solo.
Even if you're playing solo, yeah.
Does it get different if Colin and I do team up, do the enemies get tougher or something along those lines? Or?
No, when you go online, the difficulty that you'll face online is the same as offline pretty much. And if there's only two of you, it'll actually populate the rest of your party with AI teammates. So you're still all suited up and ready to go, I think.
Okay.
Cool. So this sounds like it's going to join the family of like Soul Sacrifice and Toucanin and all these other games that allow you to play online or off and doesn't really punish you to play offline,
because
I didn't feel punished at all when I played like Soul Sacrifice offline. So that's pretty exciting. Now I'm most curious about now that we are almost about to play the game. We played it pretty extensively when you were here last month.
Sure.
I got my teeth kicked in, hence the questions.
Yeah, well,
dropped us into a way far flung enemy, giant monsters popping up.
I believed in you.
Well, that was your mistake.
Yeah, don't believe in Greg. I'm most curious about the collaboration, which I think is probably more poignant and understood by the Japanese gamer in terms of Japan Studio with Shift and Dimps making this game together. Can you explain how those three teams kind of collaborated on this and maybe what those other two teams are known for?
Sure. I've said this before some other places, but our producer for the game has produced stuff like Patapon. So
yeah.
If we have Patapon fans in the house, you'll see
some
sensibility there. The director of the game is from Dimps, and he actually directed Street Fighter IV. So they've been behind...
I'm not giving you no cheers for that. You looked at me like I was going to help you on that one.
Yeah, I'm a huge Street Fighter fan, so...
I hear it's all.
Some really cool, like that team has worked on a ton of different portable titles, everything from like Sonic Advance, like like all the way forward to, you know, you can see their list online. I don't have to explain it to you.
Yeah. But
then Shift is responsible for the design of the game. So they make most popularly, I think, the God Eater series, which I know we got on PSP over here. I don't think we got the most recent one. But so that's where maybe a lot of the aesthetics kind of share some similarities. You might notice some characters look, you know, a little bit similar to some of the God Eater guys. But that's where the whole like four-player team aspect, I think, comes in. And then Dimps did most of the actual like coding and putting the game together. And then Japan Studio was in charge of producing the entire thing and making sure it all came together with what fans wanted and, you know, under the ideas that that they had planned out for it. So.
Nice. Cool.
And, you know, how was the game received in Japan? I know that it sold very well there and did pretty well critically. I mean, does the game have a big fan base over there? And are they anticipating a sort of continuation of Freedom Wars over there, not like they got with Soul Sacrifice or they got with Tekkaiden?
Yeah, I mean, I know nothing about any kind of continuation. I really wish I did. It came out in June this year in Japan and had a really, really great opening. I think they've sold over 350,000 copies, I think, by this point, which is pretty huge.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, you sell over 100,000 copies in Japan, I think, and you're successful. But yeah, it's done tremendously well. There were a few concerns about some of the difficulty later in the game, but that's been patched in. You know, when American gamers and when people over here will play it, they'll have the entire patched, you know, rebalanced game from the beginning. So, and then Japan also launched without any online actually in their game, which over there might work. You know, they have a much different environment where they can play locally, I think, a lot more easily, a lot more crowded cities, I guess, and, you know.
The train.
You know, coffee shops, what have you. But over here, online's really important, so we wanted to make sure we had that day one, so we do. I think a lot of those, like, concerns have been, you know, put at ease. So, no, but it's done really well. They have a lot of really cool, like, merchandise and products over there that I'm kind of jealous of.
They always do.
I'm hoping to bring some of that over here, too. But
Percy Proppa and all?
Percy Proppa. I've seen a plushie. I've seen Freedom Wars, like, coffee tumblers. I've seen T-shirts and all sorts of cool stuff.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's done really well. And hopefully it's the beginning of, you know, something really big. So I'm hoping.
Yeah, we're excited for it.
Cool, man. Tell me a little bit about this Percy character. He's very cute.
Yes.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Monokuma from Danganronpa.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like Podcast Beyond 7 in a row of mentioning this Danganronpa bear.
That's like one of my obsessions.
Danganronpa is fantastic if you haven't played it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I've tried. I keep falling asleep.
Oh, hey.
But I play it on a plane. That's the problem.
Does Street Fighter put you to sleep too?
Well, yeah, that puts me to tears. I'm like, I don't understand what's happening.
So tell me a little bit about this character, this cute character, that how he kind of fits in, because he's kind of interesting. He definitely is contrasts with the entire look of the game.
Right. So, you know, the thing about Freedom Wars is that you're constantly being watched. It's a dystopian society, kind of like Big Brother 1984. Someone's always watching you, right?
Sure.
So he's the messenger from the Panopticon, which is your city-state that you live in. And every time you get a mission or you're actually leveling up your social standing, so the game structure is that you'll be moving up through the Panopticon and actually getting different jail cells as you go through.
Hot.
You are a sinner. You are a prisoner. He's the one that's going to be telling you if you graduated up until the next social ranking. We call them codes. So you'll be going from code 1 all the way up to code 7, code 8. And he'll be the one delivering all these messages to you, telling you what you've done, what you've done wrong, and just kind of playing with you here and there. And he'll be chiming in to tell you funny messages here and there too. So he's supposed to be the one cheering you on, being your little cheerleader. But, you know, obviously he's, you know,
evil.
He's just there to put you at a false sense of ease and security. So. Well, yeah.
And what was the nature of, you know, one of the things I was impressed on when we played it last month, you brought, you know, we had 4 copies of the game.
Yep.
We played, you know, an extended online match or two. And I noticed when exploring the menus, and people can see it on the video preview that we did on IGN. You can look it up. The level, what seemed to me to be a high level of localization in terms of the way the game expresses itself.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of just text, in terms of, it seems like it's really on point and very dystopian and very,
very
aware
so.
Of itself. And, and it's not a shoddy localization. It doesn't seem like, it seems like there was a lot of attention paid to that. Can you tell me a little bit about that process? I know that, for instance, it has Japanese voices still, but in terms of the localization process, how you guys kind of captured the essence of the game in that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a credit to our localization studio that is in actually the UK. So actually, they partner with different like companies. But the job they did on this was really hard because there's a ton of different terms that are in the game, and you know, I can sit here and try to remember everything.
Sure,
but I'd have a hard time too because it's a very specific name for every level of organization within the Panopticon for every different aspect of. Every little part of the game, right? So there's a ton of jargon. There's a lot of stuff that you'll forget. Like, actually, they start saying PT instead of Panopticon to, like, shorten it because there's just – it's such a mouthful,
it's
right?
too much.
But, no, they really did capture the essence, I think, of what it's like to be a prisoner in a society where you don't know what's going on and that you're given a million years – you know, sentence of penal servitude from birth, right? So every time, you know, I'm asked to localize something or to just look over something, I have to constantly consult like a dictionary of terms and see exactly what we translated everything to because it's very specific and it's very on point. So, you know, if players out there get lost in a little bit of the jargon and the terms, there's a huge glossary inside the game where they can look everything up and there's lots of different tutorial messages and stuff like that. But really, we went back and forth a lot, like talking about what's appropriate, what's not. In Japanese, the term for the greater good, which is what Percy Propa likes to say a lot, is retsukoken, which means let's contribute. You know, which just sounds a little awkward when you just put it out there like that. So, you know, we went back and forth a little bit. We said, you know, for the greater good sounds a little, you know, a little bit more at home. So that's what we went with, right? But, you know, we had lots of little instances like that where we were talking about things and just trying to figure out what was appropriate. But for the most part, like, I just really agreed with what they selected. So I tried not to get in their way too much.
Can I customize the look of my character?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. You can customize so much in this game.
Yeah?
I can't wait to see what your nickname is because you'll get a nickname depending on how you play the
game. Oh, okay. So I don't get to choose my nickname. They just give it to me.
It will be given to you depending on how you do and what your standing is.
So. I'm very excited. Do I get it at the end of the game or is it like
a... No. When you press start, you'll actually see it in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. So I'm very excited.
I cannot wait for this game.
It's great.
That's why I had the time code going.
Oh, okay.
I knew I was going to curse at some point.
Yeah, it sounds. I mean, and if I remember correctly, you can customize your character at any time, right? Like,
yeah.
You're not locked into.
No.
Which is unusual. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Actually, the only thing you're kind of locked into, I should say, is the home panopticon that you pick. At the beginning of the game, you'll have a list of 50 cities that you'll get to choose from, and that's the city that you'll be contributing to, like online and offline. So. Let's say I pick Los Angeles because that's where I live now. So in the offline game, it's going to say you live in the Los Angeles Panopticon no matter what I'm doing. And if you want to change that, that's actually a per charge thing. So you will have to buy an entitlement from the PlayStation Store to change that. Everything else, what gender your character is, their name, how they look, what your accessory looks like, what your clothes look like, what color they are, all that stuff. You can change whenever you want. So,
and let's talk a little bit about the accessory. The accessory, and this is what I'm talking about with the terminology, because I love the terminology in this game. The accessory is basically your minder, right? Like the person that's like accompanying you at
your
all times,
right?
Your assistant, your lovely assistant / parole officer. That's your accessory. Yeah. So they're there to keep an eye on you and bust you. And I think the game has a pretty wicked sense of humor too. So, you know, they'll say, you know, would you like to lie down? And you're gonna say, yeah, sure, I'll lie down for 5 minutes. Like, bam, 5 years. You're not allowed to lie down. You don't have the right to lie down yet. So
that's awesome.
You know, so it kind of works like that. So they're keeping an eye on you, and there's parts of the story that will involve you like kind of like tricking your accessory into doing things that, you know, they're not aware of, but it's an AI. So, you know, you can decide what you want to do at that point.
Yeah.
And you know, so you were talking also about buying rights, which are called entitlements, right, in the game. And this is another. See, this is what's so cool, and I think sets this game apart. You know, from the periphery anyway, from Soul Sacrifice and some of these other games, which I think Soul Sacrifice was fun, but actually really shallow. This game is the antithesis. It seems like of shallow. Like there's a lot of things to manage, and one of the things is buying your rights that you have to literally. You know, not only are you trying to whittle down your prison sentence, but you also have to buy rights to leave your jail cell, right to to run in battle, the rights to like do all sorts of like everything.
Little thing, yeah.
And so explain the system a little bit to the listeners.
So when you complete a mission, whenever you're in a mission, depending on how well you do the mission, you'll get a ranking, and then you will get years off of your sentence. Again, you start with a million years, as well as I believe we call it GPP, which is the currency in the game.
Sure.
And you'll use those points to buy entitlements, right? And entitlements can be everything from the right to lay down and sleep to the right to get a certain distance away from your accessory, to upgrading your equipment, to upgrading the equipment for your teammates, right? So you have to constantly be balancing those points. Those points are very, very important. And of course, you can always replay missions to get more, but everything in the game that you need to succeed is going to be unlocked via those points, those entitlements. So the entitlement to wear a certain costume you'll have to unlock, you know, you'll have to buy. The entitlement to... what was a good one I saw recently? I think it was to just use to collect better loot was an entitlement I had to unlock. So you're going to constantly want to be looking at what's available to you, and of course you'll get more things available to you the farther you get in the game, and just unlock everything as much as you can. You know, prioritize what's important to you and go for it. So.
And sounds awesome. Yeah, that does. And so this is what I love about it, because it just gets deeper and deeper. So you're unlocking. Well, you're whittling down your time by doing missions for the state that save people, like from these huge monsters.
Yep.
And then you have to buy entitlements. But then there's also this deep upgrading system with all of your equipment.
Yep.
So and that you can use the people you save to help you build your equipment.
Yeah, that's right. So at a certain point in the game, you'll actually get the ability to make weapons as well as upgrade all of those weapons or add abilities to those weapons, like elements, etc. So when you do that, those weapons, those upgrades actually take real-world time. So it might take 5 minutes. It might take 40 minutes, depending on what you want to make. But the people you actually save from the abductors, the giant enemies in our games are called abductors, right? You're saving people from them. And when you save those people and successfully extract them during the mission, they actually become like kind of like items you can use to make that process go more quickly, right? So something that could take you 40 minutes, if you have like a weapon, let's say you have a weapons engineer, it could take you 20 minutes. It might shave the time in half. You can put your Vita in sleep mode and let it just whittle down the time while you're not playing it. But yeah, it's everything that you do in the game. Nothing is really a wasted effort. You know, you're going to get something every time you try, and you can always use that to help you succeed. So like we said, you're earning points, you're earning years off your time, you're earning items in battle. Stuff you don't use, you can turn in to get more points. You know, you can recycle everything you don't use, and you can take those weapons you don't like and turn them into elements you can use on weapons you do like. Right. So, really, it's all about how you want to play and how you want to customize things. So,
here's my question. Stick with me.
Yep.
I'm seeing things in the sky here that I'm trying to piece together.
Yep.
Are there microtransactions in this game?
There are. No, actually, the only one I would kind of call that is the maybe that change your home panopticon.
That's
right?
Yeah, you put that out there and said you could pay off the PSN, and then you started talking about like sleep mode, cut your time down, and then you know that you could go out.
Yeah,
and I know that it's not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I know you weren't saying that was.
Yeah,
but I didn't know if there's a way to speed it up or something.
No. Really, the only reason that is a for-pay service is because that has to do with the online ranking system.
Sure.
You know, and there are, you know, certain trophies attached to how you're doing and, you know, the matches you complete online and stuff like that. And
well, tell me more about that. Hold on. Now you're making me worry.
You'll be fine, but you have to complete a few matches and do a few
things. Oh, that's fine, but I don't have to, like, if I pick a weird city, it's not like 400 matches need to be. All right, great.
No. But the online aspect and this whole Panopticon versus Panopticon war, because basically it's a post-apocalyptic society, right?
So
these Panopticons are at war with each other. We're kind of emulating that on the online side.
Cool.
So the Panopticon you belong to is constantly going to be shown to you. You're going to see where it ranks on this League of Panopticons. And we don't want people switching you know, willy-nilly. So,
sounds like Dead Nation in a way, not with just country by country, where it shows you the zombies that you killed and all those sorts of stuff. Seems like a little – like it's not super essential. It's just kind of another layer.
It is. It's kind of cool, though, because, like, you can attack other Panopticons and bring down their ranking, or you can, like, you can team up with people and, you know, try to lift yours up as well.
That's my question. Colin, what Panopticon are you going to assign yourself to?
New York.
You are going to New York. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That I can confirm that is a Panopticon that you can choose.
I'm sure. 50 cities. I hope you have New York.
50 global cities.
Okay.
A little bit tougher there.
Okay.
So you can do Oslo, probably. if you wanted to. Or
I'm probably going to do Chicago.
Chicago? Okay.
I feel like San Francisco is going to do well, though.
Yeah, probably.
A lot of video game players around here. Absolutely. Maybe you want to be attached to them. I doubt Columbia, Missouri is going to do that well. So I'm not going to look for Columbia, Missouri on there.
All right, so kind of a more hard question. I'm interested in how you kind of deal with this.
Yep.
We've been talking a lot on Beyond about AAA games on Vita.
Sure.
I would consider Freedom Wars a AAA game.
Thank you.
I would as well.
And is there an expectation that this game is going to do well with the Vita audience, or is there an expectation that you guys have internally that this game is going to come out and kind of light a fire for you guys to get more of these kinds of games on Vita? Because a lot of people are afraid, and I think maybe rightfully so, that this might be the last internal AAA game on Vita.
Well, certainly when the game was being created, and Yoshizawa-san, who's our producer for the game, again, the producer on Patapon, has publicly stated many times that he really wanted this game to, you know, really help boost, you know, the Vita just in the eyes of gamers everywhere, right? And really to be a big smash hit. And I think it's done certainly very well. From an SEA perspective, you know, we're just trying to help out the game in our territory as much as we possibly can. I think the game's certainly been successful. So our job over here is just to try and make it be as successful as possible. It's not as if we have a certain, you know, goal to that we absolutely need to hit. Because
there's not one of those like thermometers you have at the school fundraiser where you're filling it in as you go.
No. We're just trying to give as great of an experience to our audience over here as we can, and as comparable of an experience as Japan had, and for their country as well. So, in terms of like lofty expectations or anything, I mean, personally, I have my own expectations, and I hope it hits, you know, a certain amount. But I don't think there's going to be any kind of like negative impacts or anything like that if it comes out and it doesn't reach quite the stellar, amazing audience that I dream it could hit. So, but you know, just trying to get it out there and make sure people know that there's actually like great AAA experiences on the platform is my goal. So, happy to be a part of it.
Cool.
I think it's going to do well.
I think so too. But I feel like a lot of Vita gamers buy games,
exactly.
But there's not many of them. So like, it's all relative, you know.
Sure.
Like this isn't a game I don't think that will. It's not like Uncharted in the sense that like this might be a game that people are like, well, that's the game I'm waiting for.
Sure. I think if you own a Vita, you're already attached enough to where this game sounds awesome. Right. You're gonna pick it up.
Right.
I hope so. You know, we thought long and hard about, you know, putting it out retail versus digital, and I was fighting really hard for retail because, you know, the AAA game, right? I want people to see this in stores.
Yeah.
And $29.99 I think is a pretty fair price for it too, given all the content that's there. I've been playing it. I played the Japanese version for like 80 hours or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, this will, the American version even more. So I really hope it hits the audience and that Vita fans know about it. So.
And is that a fair estimate in time? I was going to ask you about that, about time. Like, can a person blaze through the game?
You can go through the story, I'd say, in about 20, 25 hours or so. But then, like I said, the end of the game does get kind of tough.
You want to be grinding, right?
Well, yeah. One thing I wanted to mention, because I don't know if all games work like this, especially these hunting games, but if you have trouble with a game in the offline mode, you can actually go online, complete that mission with people that are higher level than you or friends, whoever it might be.
Sure.
And then you'll get actually an entitlement to skip over that mission in the offline when you go back, as long as you succeed in it, right?
Sure.
So if you're having trouble at the end of the game, you can do that if you want to. There are some pretty tough boss battles that I'm pretty proud of. A single player should take you maybe 20, 25 hours, but then awesome loot system. I keep seeing new weapons that I didn't know exist that might take you like a lot longer to get. But again, play with people online, collect those items. Some of the drops are pretty rare, but I think people are kind of used to that. So
right.
Cool.
Hopefully they'll enjoy
it. Sounds rad.
Yeah, we're excited. We're definitely excited. We're definitely excited to get our hands on it. It works for PS Vita TV.
Yes.
Which is cool if you guys have that out there. We're getting a lot of messages about that. And yeah, and we hope, you know, we keep saying, you know, we hope that the game's great and that, you know, people
yeah,
out there and that, well, that people out there enjoy it, but also that, you know, you're getting, you know, everyone always calls the Vita an indie machine, and it's like, well, you're getting your AAA game here, so, you know,
put up or shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, if it's good, it's good, and I think people are really going to attach to it. I think much like Soul Sacrifice, and much like some of these other Vita exclusive games, the Vita audience already knows about it, and we'll pick it up.
Yeah.
But I wonder how.
When we talk about this game it, again, Suicide Squad, Monster Hunter, all those things, it brings back the memories of Peace Walker when I'd go like PAX and have Peace Walker meetups, and everybody would play Peace Walker. You talk about the loot system; it sounds like Destiny. It sounds like it's like all these different parts of games I love, ready to go everywhere.
Doesn't sound like Destiny in the sense that there's actually loot to find in the.
But it's the same hook of, you know, you want to go get the loot.
Yeah.
Find
just making
stuff.
Fun of Destiny.
Okay.
It's pretty out when you play with people that know what they're doing online. It's pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
That thorn mechanic, seeing four people attached to an enemy and just drag them down, or seeing somebody make one of our healing items. Remember that? It kind of looks like a healing tree.
Yeah.
And heals you. I mean, it's just every option you have in this game to take down enemies, to hack them apart and get better items, and make better loot, and customize everything. It just culminates into a pretty awesome package. So I hope people check it out. I hope they get addicted to it. It's awesome when you get addicted to your own game, and that was totally my case with this. So I hope everyone gets into it.
Great.
Cool.
Well, Nick, thank you for coming by. Everybody, Freedom Wars is out October 28th. That's Tuesday.
Yes.
It's not Tuesday. You can just say Tuesday now.
Tuesday.
Unless you're listening to this long after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
You
came out already out.
You came out of a coma. You're catching up on all your beyonds. Here it is.
Comes out Tuesday. Right. And if you pick it up quickly, you get the DLC early, the pre-order DLC that we have on PS4.
What's the DLC?
It is a set of weapons
and
a pretty cool costume. And I think a few additional combat items too, like some special grenades and first aid packs.
That's awesome.
Get your free DLC while you can.
All right. Well, everybody, pick up Freedom Wars if it's good. Don't just take his word for it. He gets paid for it.
Take my word for it. I'm reviewing it.
Well, yeah, Colin's going to review it eventually. Then he'll tell you.
Yeah.
Until then, just stare at the wall. Beyond.
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 What
he's
a great interview.
Oh, I know. He's good.
Oh, that Nicholas fellow. Good. You think his full name is Nicholas?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Did people just name their kids Nick, you think, ever?
Yeah.
Nick Scarpino. He's a Nicholas. He's a Nicholas.
Yeah.
You think somebody's just like, well, let's not dance around. Let's not beat around the bush here.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is going to call you Nicholas. Mm-hmm. No, unless you're going to become Santa Claus, no one's going
to
call you Nicholas.
Now, some people like to be, you know, when they have the longer name that can be abbreviated with something, you know, short and concise, some people don't like that. I knew a guy named Alexander once who would get really mad if you didn't call him Alexander.
Mm.
And I remember I met him. I was like, hey, Alex, how you doing? He's like,
it's Alexander.
That's Alexander. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought, you know, you call you Alex. He's like, that's not the name my parents gave me. That's like what he said. I'm like, okay.
I'm sure that went over really well with you.
Oh, yeah. Because
I know you're totally cool with people who need a little bit of help.
Yes.
All the people who ask a little things out of the ordinary, Colin Moriarty and his New York attitudes, totally down to help out. Ready? Oh, here, this is about the meet and greet. Let's see if it works. Yeah, meet and greet Thursday, Columbia, Missouri, 30.
You just go away?
I can't just go eat a bunch of chicken wings without my fans in Columbia, Missouri.
Watch me eat these wings and we can hang out together, and I'll sign you a cup from CJ's.
All these things are going to happen. This is from Mitchell. He says, Beyond.
Beyond. Mitchell Morgan?
No, sadly not. I'm from Canada, so definitely not Mitchell Morgan. No. I'm thinking about buying a PlayStation Vita this year, but I am torn between the better screen of the old Vita and the improvements of the Slim. I would love to hear your guys' thought on which model to buy. Thank you for the content. Keep it up. So on, so forth, etc., etc.
You drink the fizzy lifting drink, etc., etc.
You and I don't agree on this.
No,
this is one
of the
few things in the world.
The OLED's better, for sure.
But it isn't, because the Slim's got a better battery life. It's lighter.
Is your Vita dying a lot on you? I'm just curious about that. My Vita OLED never really dies.
Well, that's because there hasn't been games to play on it. But now that there are, like, I'm getting on that plane. Going to Missouri. Meet and greet. CJ's.
Columbia, you going to have a near party at the meet and greet?
I might. If I can get some, maybe I get some extra Freedom Wars codes and we'll all play Freedom Wars and get some trophies. But what I'm saying is, I'm not worried about it dying there, not having enough charge. Now, granted, keep it in airplane mode. You keeping yours in airplane mode?
Sometimes.
When it hits off of this Wi-Fi business, that's when it drains. But I remember I would leave my Vita in airplane mode, my OLED Vita, my original Vita, on the little nightstand, OLED Vita, Wi-Fi mode, nightstand, and it would kill itself, just pinging the thing. I'd wake up in the morning and be half dead if it wasn't charged.
Oh, I just leave mine in the dock. I have one of those docks.
Mm-hmm. See, for a day out at the beach, you're getting on your train, you're going to the beach.
I couldn't imagine playing that thing on the beach with that glare.
Oh, yeah, well, I can do it because it's slim or whatever, and this is a better screen. But I'm for day-to-day use, no big deal, when you're getting like 15 minutes here or there. But I'm talking about like prolonged use. I picked up Steimer's the other day. She's got the Assassin's Creed White Vita. Thing felt like a brick. I couldn't even do it. It feels ugly. Holding it feels ugly. Look uglier with it because I got that big old piece of chunk with me.
I don't know. don't know what to tell you about that.
I think
I mean, he's not going to be able to find an OLED probably anyway.
Oh, there you go.
So, unless he bought it used or found someone that was selling one, but
sure, nobody's selling these things either because there's so many great games.
I know
it's hard.
Got to play
Freedom Wars.
Yeah,
and Danganronpa with the teddy bear of death.
This is a great year for Vita.
Monokuma. The funny is sometimes I don't know where the joke
where the stops joke begins,
and the truth begins. Where I'm like, if I had to, can I get Monokuma's name right on the real get-go, or am I going to just screw it? I love my Slim. I loved my fat Vita too until I got the Slim. But the Slim for me, I love the color of it because I have the pink one from Japan. I have the memory card. I'm totally in love with my Vita right now.
Someone did something really nifty with their Vita, and they tweeted me about it.
Was it like sex stuff?
No. We were watching football this Sunday, and someone tweeted at me that he was using his PS4 Sunday Ticket app to play the to watch something on TV and then transmit the game to his Vita, which I thought was kind of, so transmit the football game to his Vita from using Sunday Ticket.
He remote plays the Vita to the PlayStation 4, open Sunday Ticket, pretty and cool. Watch something else on the TV.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Or to have two games going on at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Watch the local game and
pretty,
the Sunday Ticket.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I missed the Sunday Ticket app on the PlayStation.
Yeah, I'm not about to pay another $100 to use it. The way, the NFL can honest to God go f*** itself. I don't care about you. Don't even blur that one out.
Right? I have to.
Because these guys make so much money. God bless them, you know? Yeah. But they have the nerve to charge you more to watch it on your console.
To bring everybody
up to
speed.
It's already $200.
To bring everybody up to speed this time around, Colin and I, me to a lesser extent, I'm just cutting you a check, but you took on the brunt of, you got the NFL Sunday Ticket. But when we came down,
it paid off really well because the Jets are 1-6, but I'll still watch every game.
Of course. Depending on which one you get, it's, you know, $200 just to get it to watch it on every device you own except your game consoles. And if you want your game consoles, it's like another $100.
It's like, you're in your mind?
Come on.
And then the NFL, you know, there's been a rumor for a long time, you know, I don't know how substantial it is, but that Google was like in the running to get the NFL Sunday Ticket. And I bet you they would have made it free, by the way.
Is that over?
DirecTV re-signed for like 7 more years. And I'm like, why does the NFL want to keep this dying company alive?
Yeah.
You know, by the way, what was interesting was that I think AT&T bought DirecTV and the deal was contingent on renewing the NFL Sunday Ticket because DirecTV is useless. The only thing that they have is the Sunday Ticket.
Right.
And I don't understand why do they want to isolate their fans from watching their games? Get, you know, higher ad revenue and all those kinds of things, or make it a little cheaper. Like, I just bought the NHL Center Ice package this year to watch the Islanders, and it's $150 for 82 games.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, Demand isn't as high for that.
I think it's really taking advantage of people at this point. Sure. Like, I love the NFL. I watch, as you know, I watch 5 games a week. Mm-hmm. The 10 o'clock, the 1 o'clock, the Sunday night, the Monday night, and the Thursday night. I watch every one of them. And I would watch more if you made it easier for me to watch more.
Yeah.
And you would get higher ad revenue. And I'd gladly pay you $200 a year if I can watch it anywhere and it worked. It also doesn't work. You know, like, it's just, I'm so mad about that. That NFL didn't listen to anyone. You know, it was like.
They want the money. Goodell.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame them for wanting the money, but like, why not just have Sunday Ticket everywhere? Why can't you buy games a la carte?
That'd be awesome.
Like, I'm sure they're. I actually think if they were like, oh, game's $20 a piece.
Yeah.
You know, so figure out your schedule when they're playing on, you know, prime time or they're playing, you know, and work it out. And then maybe you make more, maybe you make less. If you're a fan of the Bills, you're probably going to pay a lot more than if you're a fan of the Packers that are on all the time or flex games and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't know, man. Most Beyond people don't care about this. But
what was your favorite moment from the games yesterday?
From Sunday.
Yeah. Well, you watched Monday night's game.
Monday night game was the Texans let that 13-0 lead.
I'm afraid you can't tell me because you don't have the express written consent of the NFL.
Oh,
you can't give any. You can't give any accounts.
I love that.
Tell no one
that you're even here.
If you're a Podcast Beyond fan who doesn't care about sports, thanks for sticking with us. But yeah, at every NFL game, there's a part where an announcer tells you that you can't talk about this game unless you have their express written consent.
But honest to God, the best game of I think was the Rams Seahawks game.
Oh, with all that crazy stuff,
dude, the fake punt pass,
yeah,
and then that whacked out punt return. Oh man, I'll tell you what.
Mark from England writes in and says, Beyond.
Beyond.
Hi, Greg, Colin, Brian, Marty, Jared, Justin, Dan, Ryan, Mitch, Naomi, and anyone else who may or may not be in the ever-rotating third chair. I have gotten into a habit, maybe a bad one, of boycotting games if they aren't on PlayStation or if I think the Platinum will be too difficult.
Good for you.
Do you do the same? Yeah,
principle.
I stay clear of games like Bayonetta 2 on other consoles, and I don't replay PlayStation classics like Final Fantasy VII or Metal Gear Solid because they won't add to my trophy count. Am I missing out? Keep up all the great work. A heartfelt Beyond. Mark from England. King 1802.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely missing out on games.
We've been there, Colin. I've been there for sure, where I was like, I want to play this game, but it's like, it doesn't... I'm not going to get as many trophies. I can maximize my trophy output if I play something else. Mm. I've been there for sure. Classics do come around. You're like, oh, yeah, that would be great. And I remember back in the day when I was headlong crazy for trophies. I was like, I can't do this, though. I need to play this. I want to keep this.
Do you not care much for trophies anymore?
I still love trophies, and I still care about them, but I'm not in the hunt. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not. I still love them. I still want a Platinum Lego Batman. There's a bunch of different stuff like that I want to do. Mm. But, it's one of those things where, I don't know, priorities changed at some point. Something shifted. I don't know.
You became a man?
No, I don't think that. I don't like that because that's an insult to what we do. But like when you took over PlayStation and then I started playing more stuff or being more diverse or getting around or doing whatever you want to call it, like, and you passed me, like, and when we were on the same team going back and forth trading the level count, that made sense. And then once you passed me, I was like, yeah, go Colin. You take that mantle.
Right.
And now you're crazy about it.
Ride into the sunset. Yeah, I'm definitely not as crazy about it as I used to be either.
You're crazy on another level.
Yeah, I'm just more focused on, like, when I play a game, I want to get the trophies, but I'm not playing games for trophies.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
First of all, I'm sick of this Bayonetta 2 argument. I understand why people are upset that Bayonetta 2 is on Wii U. I'm sure Platinum is probably upset that Bayonetta is on Wii 2 because no one's going to play it. But they got paid, I'm sure, up front. They made their money. And Bayonetta 2 would not exist if Nintendo didn't pay for it. So, like, the game exists, and if you really want to play it that bad, then go play it on the Wii U. Like, what's the big deal? Yeah. You know? Like, it's supposed to be an excellent game. And I'm just sick of that argument because I don't think people seem to realize that that game exists simply because Nintendo funded it. So why the hell would it be on PlayStation? Yeah. Let them have their games.
Like, that's easy for us to say because we have access to every console. But I remember, when you are just PlayStation, or in my case, when you were just Sega, and something came out and it was just for SNES or whatever, you're like, God damn it.
Yeah, I know. I understand why people are upset about it in that sense, but the game literally wouldn't exist at all. True, so just pretend it doesn't exist. You know, because like it's not coming to any other platform. I can't imagine Nintendo's gonna suddenly be like, all right, well, we'll just release it on everything else now.
Yeah, here you go, everybody.
So, yeah, but, boycotting games, if the trophies are too hard, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's great PS1 classics you should definitely play without the trophies. It's like when we have PSP and the games would come out, like you'd play Third Birthday or you'd play Tactics Ogre, like these games. Corpse Party. Games that came out that didn't, obviously, late games that didn't come, obviously have trophies. You shouldn't, it's like when I played Gone Home last year on PC. I only play PC game once or twice a year because that's not really my thing. But Gone Home was one of my favorite games of last year. And it's coming to PS4 now, but... That's a short game. You're not going to get trophies, but sometimes you got to play for the experience. I think that including me and including you and a lot of people have lost sight at one point or the other about why we play games.
Oh, yeah.
It's trophies. I agree in the sense that trophies and achievements have kind of ruined things. I wasn't a completionist at all when I was a kid unless I really liked the game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play on like the hardest difficulty setting unless I really liked the game. And now we do it for these kind of ancillary metal, fake metal trophies that we don't even... get the hold or anything like that. Yeah. I understand where he's coming from, but open your mind up. Like Shovel Knight's a good example. That's still the best game of the year, and that's not on PlayStation at all, and you're not gonna get any trophies, but it has its in-game trophy kind of list
system.
Which is lame, but
I don't think you're, I think you're missing stuff, Mark. I don't think you're wrong. I've been there. Colin's been there.
Mm-hmm.
One day you'll grow out of it, even though you won't grow out of games. That sounds weird to say. You'll change, like your path will change.
Like when I sit down and play NES, when I was in Japan, I at Super Potato, they just have, like, a Famicom kiosk set up with, like, and I started playing Mega Man 1. And I just, like, lost myself for, like, 10 minutes. I'm like, this is just fun. And this is why we started playing games.
Mm-hmm.
For gameplay.
This seems like a perfect place to insert the return of just the tip. Today's tip, and this is a trophy tip, of course, comes from Chris. Chris writes in and says, hey, guys, Beyond. I got some trophy tips for all the punk heads out there playing Minecraft. There are some trophies in the game that are pretty difficult to get. A good chunk of them, however, can be obtained in the tutorial world. There's ingredients to make all the food and potion trophies. An iron golem is ready to be completed. Fishing rods, wheat for breeding and killing cows, bookshelves to break and recreate, villagers to haggle with, and zombies to infect so that you can cure them. In addition, there's a powerful sword I wrote, hold on, my curse words got, okay. There's a powerful word, sword, S word, and a saddle to help you get the overkill and when pigs fly trophies. If you're trying to get these, pull the van full of nuns over or just mark this down because I'm going to give you some coordinates here because that's how it works here. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The sword is in a chest on top of the desert temple at X301, Y71, Z106. The saddle is right outside the farm at X. Oh, negative. Oh, sorry, hold on. I didn't realize these were negatives. I thought they were dashes. So let's go back to the chest, right? The temple, it's negative 301. Then back here for the farm is at X, negative 41, Y, 59, Z7. Okay. And then he put in a joke that we're not going to use. But that's from Chris giving you tips on how to do it. Thank you, Chris. I will use those because I've been looking for saddles. You got to ride this pig. And then when you're done riding the pig, you got to make him take the fall damage that you don't take. Crazy. But I'm not obsessed with trophies. Don't worry about it. But I will ride that pig.
Well,
similar
ride.
To how we will ride our boys on ooh, the boy geez. Tour at the Bourbon Bonanza Boy Tour.
Boy Tour 2015.
Oh, my God. What a crappy show today. This one comes from Jack Knowles in Ireland. Wicklow, Ireland. That mean anything to you?
Nope.
You're Mr. Rand McNally over here with
yeah,
Ireland.
Yeah, Rand McNally.
Big fan of the show and all. Anyway, down to business. If you could have one open world game come to the Vita, what would yours be? Thanks and beyond. I want a Fallout game.
Mm-hmm.
I want a Fallout game really badly.
That's what I was thinking.
If they put Fallout 3 back, I know it could never happen. Don't get me wrong. They put Fallout 3 on there. I mean, that'd be amazing. I'd go back and try to platinum it and do a million things to it.
I would like an original Infamous game. Still,
yeah. So you mean like a from the ground up, not the original mm-hmm. Infamous game, like a brand new,
a new original.
Yeah.
That'd like be nice. A in between story.
Do you think we'll ever get anything like that?
Nope.
Why?
I thought for a long time it was inevitable, but
yeah.
Clearly it's not. So, no, I think the days of AAA are pretty much gone on Vita. That's okay.
Unless Freedom Wars destroys. I hope that game's good.
Yeah, me too.
I hope we leave here and we have our codes too.
Yeah, I'll check my email.
Let's
now.
Start downloading. Good, please do. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Podcast Beyond episode 365. A reader pointed out that you can now officially listen to Podcast Beyond every day for a year and never have the same episode. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long-running podcast show.
It's crazy and it's a little sad. But
why
good.
Is it sad?
We've just been talking about
PlayStation.
Just going back,
talking about
Lair.
Yeah. And when we're
going
to get Gran Turismo 4. All these dumb things.
Renters are four.
No, we never talked about that. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Podcast Beyond, of course, is IGN's PlayStation podcast, the number one PlayStation podcast on the internet. Each and every Tuesday, we post the MP3. Each and every Wednesday, we post the video version on IGN.com and YouTube.com/IGN. Of course, the show is all well and good, but it's IGN.com that keeps the lights on. So go there, read the articles, watch the videos, be a Prime member, contribute to the wikis, do all that jazz. Be a fantastic member. Then follow us all on Twitter. IGN is IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Every episode of Podcast Beyond ends in a segment we call Ryan's Wrap-Up. Colin, you know it well.
Yes.
Podcast Beyond listeners send in their favorite tracks that they've mm-hmm. made, that they've created. We play them here on the internet's number one PlayStation podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, Colin.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
He's one of your favorite rappers.
Yes.
You talk about him all the time.
Yes.
It's Mega Ran.
Oh.
How are you?
Hey, I am great. Good to see you guys.
It's good to see you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for making time. You're on tour. You're finished. You just finished up your tour.
Yes, last night.
You've been on the road for how long?
About 2 months.
Jeez Louise, sir. Go home.
I'm ready to go home.
Your fish needs you. Mega Ran, for people who don't know you, first off, what's your real name?
Raheem.
Hey, Raheem. How are you?
I'm great.
Thanks for joining the show. It's good to have you.
It's good to be here.
What you do all this crazy stuff with a Famicom? Explain to people at home right now. My mom's listening. What happens? What do you do?
There's
here?
Some crazy stuff going on here. I got this from a friend during a trip to Japan. I was looking for a Famicom just for my own collection.
Yeah.
And then I went to a chiptune show out there. And you're familiar with chiptune?
Oh yeah.
Right. All right. And a lot of guys were using modded Famicoms, and I was like, wow, that's so cool. I wonder if I can do that with mine. And my friend told me, no, you can't. You don't have the special one. The special ones just mean the older ones. So so on my last day there, he helped me to find a first generation Famicom and just showed me a little bit of the basics on how to mod it up in a way where I can get my 8-bit music to play through here and perform through it. So I've been doing some pretty cool stuff since then.
How long have you been doing it?
Overall, I've been performing live for about 5 years, but I've been using this in my show for maybe the last year.
Wow.
Or so.
And is this the same one? This is the
this is the same one.
It's looking haggard now.
It's beat up. I mean, it's literally been all over the world. I toured Europe with it. I toured Japan with it. And, you know, TSA isn't very nice to it, or at least not the – they make me take it out every time, and then the baggage handlers are probably tossing it. Who knows? So, yeah, but it's hanging in there, man. I mean, if it was an Xbox, I don't think it would,
oh, yeah, would last. Red rings.
Now, but it still works.
Colin.
Yes.
He I think you like Mega Man the most because of Mega Man.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He raps a lot about Mega Man. He raps about other games too, but he raps a lot about Mega Man, and that's my favorite thing in the world.
Of course. So, yeah. Yeah, it's the merging of two of your favorite things.
Yeah, rap and Mega Man.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's like peanut butter and jelly.
Yes, but yeah, I mean, you know, we used to on IGN we used to edit or have a music editor back in the day, and he was actually the one that introduced me to you. He gave me, I think, your CD, and I think there was a DVD or something that was there, some sort of compilation DVD that you might have appeared on or whatever. I have it floating around somewhere. And I started listening to it. I ripped it to my computer, and then I started. I've tweeted at you a few times, and I've started discovering things and going on YouTube and finding all that stuff. So there's a lot of cool stuff, and I love, you know, especially because Mega Man 1 through 6 and then 9 and 10 are really the essential Mega Man games, and this is a lot of what you pull off of. It makes me very happy as a fan. Also, the music, because the Capcom music of this time, this golden era, is also awesome. So adding some beats to it and some raps to it is perfect.
So how do you get away with using game music and not getting arrested?
Well, here's the funny thing. Way back when I did the first Mega Ran album, I think it was IGN, I can probably think for this. I put the album out on my MySpace page back when that was the bee's knees.
Oh, yeah.
And I put the album out, and I was really afraid of, like, a lawsuit. So I created a separate account and put it out under Mega Ran instead of Random, which was what I was going by at that time. And so the album was called Mega Ran. And then somehow it pops up on IGN, and then I get an email that same day from Capcom. I have to cue the dun-dun-dun. Hold on.
He's got it ready.
That's what went down. I got an email with the big C, and I was just like, whoa. I think the guy who got the email to me was Seth Killian.
Oh, yeah, Seth. We know, friend of the show, friend of podcast. Yeah.
Super great guy. And he was really nice. He's like, so we want to talk to you about this Mega Man album. And I'm like, how did you guys find out about this? And then he's like, don't worry, this isn't a cease and desist. And I'm like, wow, okay. So he's like, yeah, we've been playing it in the office. We really love it. It's positive. It's clean. It's well done. It's Mega Man's 20th anniversary. Like, this is totally awesome and perfect. So I think Comic-Con was maybe a month from then, and they were like, so why don't you come out to Comic-Con? And I'm like, the Comic-Con? Are you serious? And so that was my first time going to San Diego Comic-Con. And they had this cool area set up for me. They had a time where I would autograph, and like, they treated me like a star. And they're like, you don't understand, like, people love this on the internet. And I was like, what? No way. No way. That was probably when I discovered the power and speed of the internet. And after that, it was a movie. A film called Second Skin that was about, like, video game addiction and things. Something I know nothing about.
Sure.
But they loved the song I did called Grow Up, which uses the Woodman theme. And they wanted to use it as a final credits theme or whatever. And I'm like, I don't think you can do that because I don't own this stuff. And so they were like, we're going to try to get you a license. I was like, what the heck is a license? So their lawyer contacted Seth and contacted Capcom. And like 2 months later, I get this email that says, and I'll never forget the title, Capcom's blessing for Mega Ran. And then in the email was a full license to use Capcom's music samples, things like that, for $0. It was an amazing moment. And so since then, me and Capcom had a really cool relationship.
That's awesome.
Cool.
I would have never imagined something like that happening. It was just really weird. But yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's got to be when you put out the original stuff, you put it under a fake name. It's like, this is never going to go anywhere. It's just something I want to do for fun.
It's not going to go anywhere. And then it becomes my career. Like, I was a teacher at the time. And then video game remixing kind of became my thing. And then I started playing more conventions and things like that. And then I had to, 3 years ago, step away from my job, from teaching, in order to make music now.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a pretty good problem to have.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So you're going to play us a track here in a second.
I am.
What? Before we get into all that, where can people find you? Are you still touring? Next album? What are the next steps for people to go consume all your music?
Oh, man. This tour is over now. But I am working on some new albums, new projects. I'll be dropping occasional free songs on MegaRan.com. You'll also catch those on the Twitters at MegaRan. And on Facebook under Random, a.k.a. MegaRan.
Now, we covered this, you and me, personally off camera. Instagram, he's not Megaran. There's a girl who does not like being tagged in the Megaran Instagram.
Do not tag Megaran on Instagram. She's very angry. She's not willing to budge at all.
We've been there.
Yep.
Poor Megan.
We sure have.
All right, Megaran, what are you going to play for us today?
I don't really know. I'm going to think about it. Actually, one of my favorite songs is a song called Dream Master, which uses the Little Nemo, the Dream Master theme. It's mixed by my friend Kay Murdoch, and it's the story of a boy in his dreams. And basically, the story I just told you, kind of in rap form, going a little further back to when I grew up and how video games kind of literally saved my life. And my mom always said, this wouldn't get us anywhere.
And, ha ha,
and look at us now, you know?
Here we are.
So, this is Dream Master. As I said, this is a story about a boy in his dreams. And how you never know when things can come true. So this has a crazy chorus on it, and I'm going to need you guys to help me out with it.
Okay. And we're here during setup. I knew to mute it when you came on. I'm unmuting them. All right, we're here for the chorus.
You can't mute it. All right. I'm going to say, hey, hey. You say, all right. Hey, hey, all right. Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Yeah, once upon a time, before beats in the rhymes, and before there was ever any random, there was a boy in the hood who always did good. The bullies of the block couldn't stand him. And on Christmas and birthdays, he got mad presents. So many, he didn't know what to play with. He had Transformers, He-Man, Ninja Turtles, Star Wars, but the G.I. Joes were his favorite. And he was so creative that if they didn't make the toy like, he decided to create it. He put Storm Shadow's legs on Snake Eye's body, then they popped, but then he duct taped it. He made spaceships. While the big kids hung out on the block playing hide and seek and riding bikes, they used to try to get involved, but they told him get lost. And that's when they started getting high at night. Now I heard he made a friend that was nerdy as him. When he had about all he could withstand, he collected comics, cards, studied, and knew the Star Wars script like the back of his hand. And in school he made A's and B's, and teachers complimented his amazing feats. And all the while he wondered, if I'm so amazing, geez, why does nobody want to play with me? He said, hey, hey,
all right.
Yeah, hey, hey,
all right.
Yeah, hey, hey,
all right.
Yeah, hey. Hey,
all right.
Say hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
So to say this kid looked funny in school, that would be a colossal understatement. He had high water pants and Coke bottle frames and a mouth full of orthodontic braces. His first girlfriend was named Christina Perez. He took her everywhere. Now the boy is so cool, but she dated him on a dare and left him standing there without a clue. Man, kids can be so cruel. At the time when they couldn't love him any less, mother went and gone and bought the guy an NES, cause his mom felt this was the best way to keep him out of the streets. Although they were penniless, only child, she didn't want an empty nest, and it's a healthier addiction than cigarettes. And so it began. How did he escape the scene? He sat in front of that screen and chased his dream. I have to pause to tell you that NES is actually the Famicom. Okay. Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Say hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Fast forward a couple years, he gains a couple peers and sucks up game like a vacuum. And then he went off to college and searched for knowledge and develops the heart to make rap tunes. Vowed to stay true when he dropped his debut and did. It's got his little name up and it was money in the blank. But then he drew a blank every time his second LP came up. And so he thought back to childhood and how'd he survive in such a wildhood. But then he realized they didn't make him, and whatever didn't break him, that's what made him. So he decided to combine his love for his games and rap, open his soul and let him in. And then he chopped up some 8-bit sounds, put it down, and Random is now known as Megaran. Other days all over that internet, and girls who used to care are now interested. But the best part of the story comes at the end, and that part hasn't been written yet. Come on! Hey, Hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Hey, hey,
all right.
Thank you.
Damn, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was like the coolest thing we've ever done on this show. Holy nice. Crap. That Thank was amazing. You. Thank you so much for coming, Megaran.
Oh, man. I had a blast. Thank you so much for having me.
Please, it's our pleasure. This
you
is awesome.
You guys are amazing. All day.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, yeah, do you want to play the rest of the day? It's totally fine.
I would love to.
Here's my question for you, and okay. I'm stupid. Everyone knows that about Greg Miller. Idiot. It's one of those things you forget, and I'm in the room with you, mm-hmm. that the Famicom is what's playing the music. And you like when you yes. pause it, I was like, oh, right. So how does any of this work for somebody who doesn't know? Like,
oh, my
like,
gosh. It's so difficult. okay. Let me think of the easiest way I could come up with
like, it. Like, this cartridge is the mod that then All has right. an SD card in it yes. that then does things to
so
it?
So this cartridge was totally chopped up and modded. It's the Goemon game, I think, from remember Mystical Ninja mm-hmm. for the Super Nintendo? It looks like that guy. But I don't know. They took this game, split it open, did a bunch of modding to it, and then somehow fit an SD card slot and a headphone jack on it.
Gotcha.
Now, from this SD card, I put this into my laptop. I create a beat through a program known as Famitracker.
Okay.
Or Milky Tracker, or anything with a tracker in it that can create Nintendo sound files. Now, I take a Nintendo sound file, which is the only thing this thing can play. Outside of that, if it's too powerful, it'll probably just blow it up. Like a regular MP3 is humongous.
Sure.
And it just will not compute. So yeah, taking the song from here, I create it in a tracker thing, and it's a trackers are so weird. This looks like a bunch of grids, and you just slide things up and down to make sounds. And use that. I save it to a Nintendo sound file on this SD card. Put the SD card back in here. Turn it on. Hit reset. Tune it a little bit, and pray that it works. And that's kind of the way I've been doing this.
I would have just kept being a teacher.
Yeah.
Lesson plans have got to be easier than that.
I don't know, man. Oh man, I used to dread every Sunday. Trying to watch football and sure. trying to watch all my favorite shows, Simpsons and now Walking Dead and stuff, but doing that and then still having to do lesson plans,
it
was a nightmare.
All right.
Mondays were terrible. But I miss the students, though, and because they kind of keep you young. You know,
yeah,
when you're
yeah.
around kids, you know what's mm-hmm. cool, what's hip. I let them hear my songs, and they tell me, like, all right, Mr. J, you probably should work on that a little more. Or, you know, you're no Drake, Mr. J. You know?
You're like, I know, but, damn it.
But they're, like, 7th and 8th grade, so therefore they've seen everything.
Sure.
So they're, you know,
they think they know the world.
Yeah, nothing's cool to them, so therefore, especially nothing an adult does.
Right.
So they're looking at you like, yeah, it's all right. And then they go home and tell their friends, oh, my God, my teacher's a rapper. This is so cool. And then they're all over my YouTube without their parents tell me that stuff.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Like, this is a next, like I said, I've only been doing this part of it for a year. I've kind of been making the beats at home on different programs, GarageBand, Logic, things like that, and then creating MP3s that I could play on my laptop. But I think this adds a whole new dimension
yeah.
using the Famicom, and it's a lot more fun to do it that way.
All right.
It's very cool. Should we do one more?
Do yeah, we have time for one more? Can you do one more?
Yeah, I can do one.
Is that okay? Because yeah. this is the coolest thing that's happened.
This is way
in
cooler
room.
Than us getting MP3s and playing.
No offense. Those are great too. Keep sending your MP3s to beyond@ign.com just like you can. Podcast Beyond is IGN's weekly
podcast. But we'd rather have you here live.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, if you can absolutely. Make it.
So far, you joined the hallowed halls of Life in 24 Frames. I think, and Troy Baker. Those are the other people who have ever played here.
It's very cool. It's very cool.
Awesome. All right, so yeah, I'll play another one. You talked about Mega Man. What's yep. your favorite Mega Man?
Mega Man 3.
Mega Man 3. Let's see if I have anything that's Mega Man 3. I actually do. I have a Shadow Man track. Let's see. That won't quite be as cool because it's not going to come through the Famicom. I haven't used one of those for this track yet. But
you do whatever you need to do.
Yeah,
don't
I mean, if
it.
You want to use that, were you?
We may just set this whole thing up.
Yeah, whatever you want to do.
I
you're
set
playing
it up. I feel like I should use it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're playing okay. the Wily. Were you playing? Was the Wily track going through that?
Yeah,
before?
Yeah.
You want to do that
do
one?
Wily. Yeah,
yeah. Absolutely. That's a hot track. That's a hot
He's
track.
He's a doctor.
He is a doctor.
He's a doctor
of robotics.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I introduce this song live, I always tell people, you know, we played a lot of the Mega Man games, and the early games had no story, no dialogue. Mega Man didn't speak or think or feel, at least from what we knew. And so we never really knew what was going on. And if we could get inside of Dr. Wily's head, I think we could learn a whole lot. Like, why does this guy consistently try to destroy Mega Man and Dr. Light, like, for decades now? You know, he's failing over and over again. Like, try something new. But I would love to sit him down one day and be like, Dr. Wily, what's the deal? And then he'd be like, well, And then I'd be like, wait, put it to a rap beat. And then it would be this song, Wiley. All right. Now, at some point, I will need you to say Dr. Wiley.
Okay.
I'm going to be like, say Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Very good.
All right.
All right. So
we're
this
good
is what
at this.
Yeah, yeah, we're
going to come on tour with you next time.
Yeah. All right. This is the call and response. I love it. Okay. So this is Wiley. Smartest in the world. Amazing advancements in the field of robotics. And money was no object, but he never felt the need to make it proper with projects. He had a best friend, Dr. Light. They could have changed the world if they stayed together. Friendly competition turned a bitter rivalry, and one day it changed forever. Wiley said he'd done enough, felt like it was second place, he was always runner-up. He got sick of second place, felt like it was Wiley's turn to start coming up. See, the school held a contest, showing off technology and charting our progress. Wiley and Light collaborated, but Light got all the accolades, wild press, I guess. Wiley had enough of that, started acting up, his acting stuff, and though his act was tough, we weren't buying it, but this was the beginning of a mad scientist who might win some, but he just lost one. Light kept building, the awards got one, a table for one, just not fun, so he built a robot to call his son Rock, named for his love for music, lab assistant who fetched his toolkits, teenage boy, clumsy, clueless, always amusing, but that was the blueprint, didn't want Rock to be all alone, so he built another robot named Roll, and life was grand, but little did they know, Wiley was coming back for everything he was owed. Say Dr. Wiley!
Dr. Wiley!
Dr. Wiley!
Dr. Wiley.
Say Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Yeah, I'm taking over. Nothing can stop me. It's Doc Wiley. Do not try me. It's Doc Wiley. Once again, say Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Say Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Yeah, I'm taking over. Nothing can stop me. Doc Wiley. Do not try me. It's Doc Wiley. Do not try me. All is well in the city of robots. Peace and love. No shots, no cops. But guess who comes back to the block? And when danger comes, it's likely that it won't knock. In the lab like a repo man, left all his robots reprogrammed. Cut man, black man, rat man, butt man, elect man, but you can keep those, man. Stack chips like Doritos, man. And a few torches to bleach those plans. And use robots to wreck that town. And if you wanna stop them, you gotta bow down. Now, our worst fears came to light. And worse, everybody's blaming Light. Now Doc has one robot left, it's rocking. That kid isn't even trained to fight. On world domination, he's hell-bent. So he puts on a blue suit and helmet. Tells Rock, don't kill him, you can help it. I can't believe his old friend's so selfish. Mass destruction is only objective. If only we had known he protected. But I guess it's the fact, is it not? Then if not, it's just a matter of perspective. We can't let him win this fight. Time to get equipped, bots get sliced. Doc has Wiley in his sights. Can't bring himself to end his life. So they locked the Doc in the cage where they think he'll spend the rest of his days. And I heard the other day he escaped, and I bet he'd be back one day. Somebody say Dr. Wiley!
Dr. Wiley!
Dr. Wiley!
Dr. Wiley!
Say Dr. Wiley!
Dr. Wiley!
Dr. Wiley!
Dr. Wiley!
I'm taking over. Nothing can stop me. It's Doc Wiley. Do not try me. It's Doc Wiley. Once again, say Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Say Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Dr. Wiley.
Yeah, I'm taking over. Nothing can stop me. It's Doc Wiley. Do not try me. It's Doc Wiley. Do not try me. Ha. That's that.
That's awesome.
Thank you, guys.
We love you so much. Yes. Right, you should
you come
should be,
every week.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can be the house band of podcasts. Yeah, just stay here. Never leave. It'll be great. It's been our pleasure having you. Ladies and gentlemen,
that.
Make sure you hit up megaran.com, get all his music, go see him on tour, keep listening to Podcast Beyond. Beyond!
Beyond.
Beyond.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.